Hey friends, this is Pastor Ron, Pleasant Grove Church. Thanks so much for taking the time to listen today. And here is some good news from the Grove.
All right, so let's get into message number 4 of Psalm 23. Let's talk about the idea of He restores. Actually, this phrase we're going to cover today is like, if there's a favorite phrase I have in Psalm 23, this is it. This is it. We're going to talk about why. All right, come on, stand with me for the reading of the Word. Let's just give God's Word honor this morning. And let's read, or you can recite Psalm 23. Let's do it together, all right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's not one step I'm going to take from here on that He's not with me. Isn't that good news? That's good news. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Holy Spirit, we just pray You just come and make it our bread. Help us to have understanding what we need. And Holy Spirit, move among us. Help us to experience Your Word, not just hear it, not just go through the motions of it all, not just get an academic type thing, not just learn something, Lord, but to experience Your Word. Help us to experience Your restoration. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. 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 You may be seated, gang. Let's unpack this phrase right here. And there's a whole lot here. We could take several hours talking about restoration. But let's unpack this idea. He restores my soul. Say that with me. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. This is good stuff. All right, so now, again, this is the setting. Let's show you a couple pictures just kind of keep you in mind. This is the setting of Psalm 23. We're in the Judean wilderness, the desert. You know, we're not at a fenced-in ranch. We're not at the Golden Corral. We're in the open range territory of the Judean wilderness. All right, it looks like this. It looks like this. You know, we see these big gullies, and this is sheep country that David is writing about. God leading him through this wilderness. This is kind of a picture of life, right? So you're in this wilderness. There's no cell phones. Not in David's time. There's no police to call. There's no food store. There's no McDonald's around the next corner. There's no supply store. The sheep are literally at the mercy of the shepherd. If you've got a bad shepherd, you're in a situation like that, you're not going to do good. You're going to die. If you got a good shepherd, you're going to be okay, because he knows where the path goes. He knows where the green pastures are. He knows where the still water is. He's got a rod. He's got a staff. He can protect you. He can watch over you. So here's another picture right here. You kind of see the Dead Sea kind of in the foreground there. It's rugged. It's rocky. And your survival 100% depends on how close you stay to your shepherd. All right? Now, this is one of my favorite pictures on one of my trips. I was behind this guy, and I said, man, that's the Dead Sea right there. And I just took a picture. Isn't that a great little picture right there? Kind of get an idea. Next week, we'll get into the path. You see that path? That's the roadway in the wilderness the Bible talks about. How wide is it? Oh, it's kind of narrow. I believe I hear my master talking about a narrow path. Didn't he talk about that? Okay, we'll talk about that next week. It's hard for me to stay on track with all these things come to mind. Now, here's another one of my favorite pictures, these little flowers you got there in the foreground in that desert kind of deal. All right, so now, He restores my soul. Two ideas we're going to consider this morning. This idea of replenish. He replenishes my soul. And this idea of He causes my soul to return. So this is the idea of the word restore has these two ideas wrapped around it. This idea of replenish. It's we could very well say He heals my soul. He heals me. He refreshes me. And Peter would come into the book of Acts when the Holy Spirit is poured out, and he talks about times of refreshing that will come from the Holy Spirit. You know, that idea that we go through this dry and dark and dusty world, and we need refreshing. Amen? And I hope that when we interact with each other on like a weekly basis and Wednesday nights and all the things we do together, I hope that's where we find some refreshment for our souls. We need that. He restores my soul. He replenishes me. He strengthens me. Gives me what I need, when I need it, the way I need it. And because I can trust Him to take me to the green pastures. And remember the green pastures? If I'm living in the green, it's a great time. It's a great thing of prosperity. But my shepherd also knows how to navigate when things are not so good. When things are a little bit lower. And it's maybe, and we talked about in the green or in the brown. Remember that? When times are great and prosperous. And maybe sometimes we go through lean seasons. Where things are not the way we would necessarily like them. But we trust in the shepherd. Because He knows how to take care of me when I'm abounding or when I'm low. He can take care of me. And then He takes me to those still waters. To where I can get the water for my thirsty soul. What I need when I need it again. This whole idea. So what all of this replenishing does, it helps me to trust, put my faith in trust. In fact, the whole psalm is a testimony of how He's trusted God and God has come through. And God has made a promise to all of His people. There's one thing that David wrote, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor God's seed begging bread. You know why? Because God always takes care of His people. And we serve the shepherd who has made this. You think about God. We serve the God who makes promises to us. See, all the pagan stuff and all the stuff we see in the Old Testament, all the stuff we see today, the God is wired to the idea that it's based upon your promises to God. Well, the Bible covenant is just the opposite. It's the God who makes promises to us. That's a pretty radical idea that God Himself would make a promise to little old you and little old me. That's pretty awesome. But He has made a promise to never leave us nor forsake us. Never. Never. And I'm going to tell you something. I've been a good son and I felt the presence of God. I've been a bad son in some bad places doing some bad things that I shouldn't be doing. And you know what? I found out if I'm a good son, I'm still a son. If I'm a bad son, guess what? I'm still a son. I found that out. Now, the bad son part is usually a switching around that corner somewhere. You don't want to be there. But He proved to me time and time again that even when I wasn't perfect, I still belonged to Him. There's some security in that for me. Now, I don't want to live in that state, but I'm glad He doesn't abandon me when I'm in that state. You know what I'm talking about? In fact, my daddy kind of taught me that lesson. When I got in that state as a young teenager, you know, I ain't always been saved. I ain't always been a preacher. My mama's going to move here soon. Y'all don't be asking her no stories because I Anywho. But my dad taught me that lesson. That when I was in a bad state, you know what my daddy did for me? My daddy would draw closer to me. I didn't necessarily like it at the moment, but my daddy would draw closer to me and he literally would bear down on me when I wasn't doing good. When I wasn't, he would be in my face. He would check on me more. He would come in there and say, you know, he taught me. He said, son, you may not be doing right, but I'm still your daddy. And he bared down on me. And God proved Himself to be the same way. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's some good news now. That's some good news. That's news that'll bring us peace and security. So this idea of replenishing. I'm showing you all these pictures of the desert because that's real important to the context. Understand what's going on. Because that desert's like life. There's not a whole lot about life that's easy. Especially when you get a bunch of other people involved in marriages and children and work and employees and customers and all that kind of stuff. It gets kind of complicated, don't it? It gets kind of complicated. And life is full of all kinds of pain. It's full of all kinds of suffering, all kinds of difficult situations, all kinds of challenges. And when we're walking in this desert, the soul can get damaged in different ways. Remember the passage is, He restores my soul. So He's going to be with me in this healing process to bring me back to who I need to be. He's going to be replenishing me. So the soul can get damaged in this desert of life, this world, in many different ways. Let's just unpack a few of them. It's not hard to get overwhelmed in life, is it? You start toting that load by yourself, and I promise you, soon it will get heavy. You can be overloaded real easy. And sometimes it's not even by your choice. Sometimes it just happens. You know, sometimes, you know, the dog gets sick, the refrigerator goes out, and the spouse don't act right, and the kids are flunking out on school. It's all in the same week. You understand that? It happens, don't it? Life happens to all of us. And we get overwhelmed. We get overloaded. And the soul can get weary. The Bible talks a lot about that, where you just get wore, slam out. So the soul can get weary as we're going. The soul can get offended. It's not hard. Because there's a lot of people willing to do it. A lot of people willing to offend you for their own sake or whatever that might be. A lot of things we struggle with people. And if you're not careful, I mean, offenses are going to come. Jesus said that verbatim, very plainly. Offenses are going to come because people don't really care about you and they certainly don't care about your feelings. And now we're being wired to be hooked into all of our feelings. And so that's just a recipe for soul disaster, to be honest with you. And we get in these offenses where somebody may say something, look something, or don't say something, or don't recognize me, and we get offended. And the scripture talks about being offended and taking on a root of bitterness. You've heard of that idea, right? And the soul can get bitter. You ever met a bitter person? I mean, the movie keeps replaying in their mind of something that happened 10, 20, 30 years ago, and the movie keeps replaying. That's bitterness, isn't it? And they struggle with things, and they struggle with letting go, and that bitterness can come in and defile a person. It can absolutely flavor everything in their life to the negative. That bitterness can get in a marriage. Because a spouse doesn't do what maybe you thought they should do, or maybe they're not treating you right. Maybe that's a for real thing. Maybe it's not a feeling. Maybe it's for real. And that bitterness can get on the inside of you, and it can defile you. It can change you. And the scripture says that in Hebrews. It says that root of bitterness can not just defile you, but it can defile many people around you because you begin to share your bitterness with other people. And you know what you do. And you poison people against people, and that root of bitterness goes out. The soul can get bitter. In this desert of life, the soul can get wounded. We can get wounded even in a setting like this with people. Because we're all just people. You can get hurt by a loss of some kind. Maybe a death in your family or a close loved one or something of that nature. You can have a loss of a job or a loss of income or portfolio or something, that a loss of health, all that kind of thing. The soul can get hurt and wounded, and pain sets in. Life's full of pain. It just depends on how you're going to process that pain. Are we going to cast our cares on Jesus because He cares for us? Or are we going to carry those things and have a wounded soul? And just so you know, church world is full of people that don't get healed. And it's a tragedy because Jesus was wounded for those hurts. So the soul can get fearful. Be full of fear and anxiety and worry and all sorts of things. That's a soul sickness. That's like a soul disease. You know, that the word disease, dis-ease. There's a dis-ease that can happen in our souls, in our minds, in our psyche, all that kind of thing. We're just not healthy. We're just not who we need to be. Not who God created us to be. Not living to be the person Jesus wants us to be. The soul can be oppressed. That's when darkness begins to set in. That heaviness. And you can see it. You know, where I used to live wasn't all that great of a neighborhood. And over the years, it was going down and down and down and down. And they used to have these things called shopping malls. And shopping mall was where everybody seemed to drop off their kid at 7 o'clock on Friday night. Anybody know about these kind of places? There are not too many of them around anymore for whatever reason. But they drop off all their kids. And you know what I began to see? This wasn't too many years ago. I began to see that these kids, teenagers, walking around, and there was like a darkness on them. You can see it on their dress. You can see it in their look and this gothic look and all this kind of thing. And it's like an oppression. And that oppression is trying to steal a whole generation. That darkness. The soul can get oppressed. And of course, oppressed can turn into possessed. A possessed soul. And not by the Holy Spirit either. By an unholy spirit. So all these are kind of problems and damage that we pick up in this wilderness of life. The soul can be vexed. You've met people that are vexed. You don't use that word anymore, but it's a Bible word. It's irritated. You ever found somebody that just got irritated all the time? Just frustrated? just mad at the world, just pick up the phone and, hello. Oh, yeah, excuse me. I'm sorry. What were you doing? Yeah, no, what you want? Anyway, I know there's nobody in here, but you know people in your family like that, you know? And that irritation or that frustration or that torment that's a real thing in our hearts. The soul can get depressed. A lot of talk out there about mental health. Here's the word for your mental health. He restores my soul. Everybody say he. It's the he. It's not them. I'm just going to tell you. As much as they try to help, them can't do it. Whoever them is, your friends, your family, your therapist, all that. Thank God for everybody that tries to help. But soul restoration comes from the shepherd. That's what David learned. We've got to have that. It doesn't come from all the self-help books. That's a real weird thing because self is the one in the hole and you're trying to get out of the hole and you look to yourself to help yourself, but yourself got yourself in the problem and now you can't get yourself out of the problem and you're going to go to get self-help. It ain't there. Amen. Amen. Anywho, y'all get all that? So he restores my soul. David knows that. He says this, why are you so downcast? That's that depression thing. Hope thou in God. One scripture says that God is the glory and the lifter of my head. See, depressed and downcast is here. It's the projection is down. It's dark. It's hopeless. It's despair. And you, God, are the glory and the lifter of my head. You see what I'm talking about? David's looking back. If you know anything about David's life, it was not easy. Not from the moment God anointed him king, his life got real tough. That tells me something, that the call of God and the anointing of God doesn't mean it's always going to be easy. In fact, it's game on when that stuff starts happening, isn't it? It's game on in the world and you know, all that kind of stuff. And David knew about how he lived half of the first part of his life in a cave, running for his life. And this whole idea, he's looking back on all of that and all the whole deal about, you know, all the rumors and all the stuff that was put out on him and now all the lies that were told about him. And the whole nation wanted to kill him at one point in time. Because the powers that be put out a rumor to cancel him. That spirit ain't new. The spirit we got dealing with today, that spirit is not new. It's a murdering spirit and it's out there and it's always been out there and it always wants to kill God's people. David knew about all that. So when he's talking about he restores my soul, he's talking from this first person that God has helped me in some very tough situations. Listen to what Jesus says right here. Jesus makes an invitation to us. He says this, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. There it is. That's that soul problem. That heavy, overburdened, weary, tiresome spirit that's upon you. Whatever. The weight is heavy. And Jesus makes it. He says, come to me and I will give you rest. Now, if we could go back to that word restore. See that word restore at the bottom? What's the first four letters? Rest. So part of your restoration is going to be learning to live in this rest that Jesus talks about. So he says, come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. We've talked a little bit about that in the past. And learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now that yoke thing is for a beast of burden that's pulling a load, right? Pulling a plow, pulling a wagon, pulling something like that. And that's like life. We're pulling a load with life. And the older you get, the heavier your load gets. The more your responsibilities get. And it can get heavier. And Jesus says, what I want to do is I want you to yoke up with me in such a way that you learn to pull the load with me. And the reason the burden is easy, or excuse me, the yoke is easy and the burden is light, and life gets a little bit different feel to it, is because Jesus is helping you pull that wagon. He'll help you pull that load at work. He'll help you pull that load with the family. He'll help you pull that load through that crisis and through that challenge. That's the promise. And he says, you got to come to me. And I will give you rest. I'm not going to take away your work, but I'm going to help you pull the load. I'm not going to take away your responsibilities. In fact, he added more responsibilities to us. But he says, I will help you pull that load. All right. Now let's go back to our list. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. If you're overwhelmed, offended, wounded in some kind of way, fearful, oppressed, irritated, frustrated, depressed, Jesus says, come to me. And I will replenish you. Do you hear what he's saying? Do you hear the royal invitation? So this is what I want you to do this morning before we move on any further. If any of those words describe you, what you're going through, I want you to stand up right where you're at. If any of those words describe you, I want you to just stand up. You need replenishing. And we're going to stand up by faith. And we're going to believe Jesus to touch us. I don't want you just to hear, he restores my soul. We got to get it. We want that for our soul. Amen. Lord, nearly everybody. See, it's just rough out there, ain't it? Spirit of Jesus is going to touch you. Just close yourself in with Jesus. Lord, you put this on my heart. And I'm just going to trust you to minister to your people. And we just stretch out our hands to you and we just say, replenish us, Lord. Strengthen your people. No matter what the problem might be, no matter what the difficulties might be, we know it's not by might nor by our power, but it's by your Spirit that we're touched and we're changed. And Holy Spirit, just flow among your people. Just touch your people. Touch your people and restore them. Strengthen them. I speak strength into you in the name of Jesus. I speak light into your darkness. I speak healing into your pain. In the name of Jesus, touch your people. Lord, it's by your wounds we've been healed already. And we just draw on that great fountain that you created at Calvary. We draw on that, Lord. Touch your people and help us, Lord. Help us. Amen. 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 You may be seated again. Hey, keep going to Jesus. Keep going. The invitation is always open. Come to me. Come to me. All right, so now. Let's get into this idea of return. It's the second part. We'll do this kind of quickly. He replenishes my soul. But there's also another connotation of this Hebrew word shub in the word restore. It means to bring back, to return. And the idea is to return to the place you're supposed to be in the first place. Right? So now we could easily say, he restores my soul, or he brings me back. That's the idea. That's another idea. All right. So maybe today there are those that need to return to Jesus in some shape, form, or fashion. Maybe you've drifted. Maybe something's happened. Because see, out in this world right here, this world of this desert, this wilderness, wild world we live in, this sheep wander off. Sheep wander from the shepherd. Isaiah 53:6 says this, all we like sheep have gone astray. How many? Oh boy, say everybody. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We had a better idea than the shepherd. We went our own way, right? And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So something was laid on Jesus that would help get us back to the place we need to be. You see? Because we wandered off. And how do sheep wander off? Well, we wander off by choice. We wander off sometimes by one blade of grass at a time, don't we? We're going right here and we're eating and we just, the shepherd's over here and we got a better idea and we just kind of, and we off over here on our own somewhere. We look up and there's no flock and there's no shepherd. Sometimes we do it through rebellion, willful disobedience. Sometimes we wander off from the shepherd because we just don't follow close enough. And we lose sight and we lose earshot of the shepherd's voice. Sometimes fear gets us and we lock up and we can't move. And he's on the move, and we can't move. Sometimes temptation gets us, and those seductive spirits get us and just kind of pull us off track, because there's a goat in these flocks too. And we get lost. And this pic is an idea, this picture is an idea of what it is to be lost in the deserts of life. And it's easy to get lost in this sin-filled big old world. It's easy. People do it. They get lost, they lose their way, they lose sight of hope, they lose their dignity because of sin and all the things, the choices they make. They lose their understanding of their worth with God, they lose their families, lose their direction. You lose your mind, you lose your peace, you can lose your joy, you can lose yourself. Because here's the key, if you lose the shepherd, you lose yourself. Listen to what Jesus said about this. Matthew 16:26. For what profit is it to a man or woman if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Those are two questions Jesus asked. And a lot of people will change a lot of stuff, or they'll exchange a lot of stuff for their soul. Well, we just saw this morning in Sunday school where Esau changed out his birthright for a bowl of beans. That question is not a rhetorical question. That actually has an answer for some people. A lot of people sell their soul for the dollar, don't they? Well, for a high or a fix or drugs or alcohol, all that kind of stuff. You name it. And see, it's a pity to be lost out there. But the real problem comes when you lose you. And that's what he says. He said, what's worth your soul? What's worth your soul? And if you knew the value of who you are in God and who you are as a human being and who you are as a man and who you are as a woman, if you knew the value, you would realize that you're worth more than the whole world. That's what Jesus is saying. I mean, you're worth so much. You want to know how much you're worth? Take a look at that cross. You're worth the darling of heaven stepping out and coming here in order to lay down his life and die on a sinner's cross. That's what you're worth. You're worth the life of the very Son of the living God. That's what you're worth. So the soul can get lost. So how do we get back? How do we get back to the shepherd? How do we get back to who I really am? How do we get back to this point of safety or salvation that the Bible calls it? Well, Jesus tells a story. We took several weeks and went over this story in our teaching on the comeback when we talked about Luke 15. Jesus gives this radical teaching about salvation and repentance and this idea of coming back, this idea of he restores my soul. It's this three-part parable. Remember, we talked about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the two lost sons. Remember that? It's on the website, it's on the podcast if you'd like to go catch up on some of that. One is lost out and about, one is lost in the house. And now let's look at what he says right here. This is what how am I going to get back? How am I going to return? Jesus tells this parable. He spoke this parable to them saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he's found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Now the idea that Jesus is giving us is the good shepherd. He's talking about himself. The good shepherd goes out and he searches and he seeks until he finds that one that is lost. Now, how am I going to get back? My shepherd. My shepherd is the one that restores my soul. Now, here's a picture I want you to remember. I want you to remember this picture. And this particular picture I'm going to show you. In the ancient archaeological first century stuff that they find, they find this on churches and things that they've found. The cross has become like the central symbol of Christianity. That all happened kind of about 400 AD, from Constantine, or 300 AD, Constantine's vision and all that kind of thing. And the cross kind of became the symbol of all Christianity because of what Jesus did on it. But it seems like early on, the cross was not the symbol of Christianity, because that was kind of like the electric chair for those early Christians, to be honest with you. This was the symbol. You see it in all kinds of archaeological finds. This became the symbol of the early church. This is what they had. This right here. See this picture? You find it in all kinds of places. Go Google it. You'll see some carvings and things like that. It's a picture of a shepherd carrying the sheep. That's the first known, if we could call it like a logo. That's like the first known logo of the people of God, the people of Christ. The shepherd carrying the sheep. This is, guess who the sheep is? That's me. That's me. That's me. He's the shepherd that goes after the one until he pursues. And how many know Jesus is relentless in his pursuit of you? I can promise you that. He was in my life. It still is. I'm telling you, there have been whole seasons in my life. He's a whole lot more serious about me than I've been about him. And he's relentless. He goes until he finds, and at the risk of his own life. And in fact, Jesus even gave his own life to help you return home to God. So how does the sheep get restored? How does the sheep become found again? Well, the shepherd, he goes out and he calls. He calls on that sheep. He leaves that 99 to go find that one. And he calls out. He goes out in that wilderness area. Run! Run! Hey! Where are you? And he's walking these dark canyons. He's walking all these paths. He's walking these slippery slopes, trying to get to me. Hey! You know, one day I heard that. He was calling lots before I heard him. He was calling through my mama. God love her. I mean, I'm saved because of that woman. And I make jokes about it. And I tell her all the time, I said, you wouldn't even thank me. I kept you real close to Jesus. She didn't think that was too funny. And she made sure I knew his voice. She would read his word to me. She'd say all kinds of things. And I had other people in my life, my grandmothers. God love them. My Lord, I just hate they're gone to heaven for my sake, but I'm glad for them. But, you know, they're people that I'm saved because they helped me hear when I could not hear, when I was deaf. And then one day I heard this faint kind of rumbling down on the inside of my spirit. I didn't know what it was. I mean, it was unusual, but it was a call. It was a shepherd. And then, something began to change inside of me. And something really changed one day. And I heard his call, and then I cried out, bah! You know what I'm talking about? And my calling and my crying out and his call upon my life met that day, and he put me on his shoulders and he said, son, it's time for you to go back home. You know what I'm talking about? I hope you've experienced that. He restores my soul. Now let me close with this quick testimony. Take me out for a steak dinner and I'll give you more details. It was about 2014. It was the most difficult year of my life, by far. Had resigned my church. A lot of stuff was going on in my personal life. It wasn't good. And in 2014, went through a divorce. And it was, without a doubt, the darkest season of my life. And the enemy and everybody else capitalized on it. And I was ready to check out of this place. I was done. You know, something happens to you when things happen that you never thought would happen to you. And then it happens to you. And just like that, in one fell swoop of a few weeks, boom. I was on top of the world, and then I was on the bottom of the barrel. You know what I'm talking about? It happened fast. I'd quit pastoring. I'd resigned my church in February of 2014. Was going into mission work. It was just kind of a lot of stuff was going on. It's mostly just all personally motivated. But that wasn't what God called me to do. Fast forward it to a few months later, I got a phone call. I was working a job, doing some remodeling and doing some stuff like that, additions and things. I got a phone call from a couple that I'd pastored. I'd married the two of them. I'd baptized the mom and daddy. I'd dedicated both their sons to the Lord. I got a phone call from this couple. And this couple had their oldest son, who was 11 or 12 at that time, had gotten killed in a four-wheeler accident. It was as dark and as tragic as could be. So I got on the phone with Eric, and he told me what had happened. And me and this little boy, I'd known this little boy all his life. He was just a special kid. He and I had a special bond. He would take his stuffed animals. He'd put them on his bed. In fact, when I went into his room that day, they were all up there. He'd have all these 30, 40 stuffed animals, and he'd stack them up on his wall right there, and he would get his Bible out, and he would preach to those stuffed animals. And he'd ask, his mom would say, "What are you doing, son?" He said, "Well, I'm going to preach just like Pastor Ron." Me and this little boy was tight. He got killed. So I decided that I'm just going to go. I took the week off, and I just went to their house, and I stayed with them that whole long, dark week. And we cried and cried, rivers of tears. Got ready to leave. I think it was Friday. It was December 23rd. Say it that way. It was December 23rd. I got ready to leave. And I'm standing there leaning on the kitchen counter talking to the dad. And I said, I got to go. And I'm sitting there talking to him. And we're just kind of saying our goodbyes and all this kind of thing. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him. And he said, "You know, this is what I called you to do for your life, right?" And I knew exactly what he meant. And I under my breath, I said, "I can't deal with this right now. We'll talk when I get in the truck." And did we ever. We said our goodbyes. I went and got in my Dodge Ram, and I'm headed towards Alabama. I'm leaving Georgia to go to Alabama, and there's a country song in there somewhere. So I'm driving, talking to God all the way from Atlanta all the way to Birmingham. And I'm talking to Jesus. And I said, "Lord, I'm sorry. I shouldn't be off path, but I am. And tell me, what do you want me to do with my life?" He said, you are a pastor. That's what I called you." I said, "Well, Lord, I don't even know how to get back. I don't know how to get back to where you want me to be. But I had to do something. I had to surrender." And so right there, when I'm riding down Interstate 20, I-20 right there, I just said, "All right, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. But you're going to have to bring me back. I don't even know what to do." So I made this commitment to him somewhere before I got to Birmingham. And it was a high and holy time. So I called my dad on the phone. I said, "Hey, Dad, let me just tell you what just happened." So I told him I wanted to seal it and him hold me accountable to it. And he was just overjoyed about it all. He said, "Son, we've been praying. Well, I'm headed to Memphis is where I was living. I'm headed to Memphis. And about Holly Springs. Y'all know where Holly Springs is? It's exit 30 off of Highway 78, which is now I-22. I was headed to Holly Springs. And I got this weather alert on my radio. You know how that big loud blaring, I don't even know if they do that stuff anymore. Now it's on cell phones, but it meh, meh, meh. And it gave a warning for Marshall County. And I knew right where I was, and Marshall County was kind of just ahead of me. They said a tornado warning. And I said, "Well, okay, I got plenty of time." Well, I'm riding down this highway, and I come up to a bunch of people are pulled off the side of the road, and people are running out of their vehicles, and they're running up into this bridge, this railroad bridge. They're running up into it, and I'm like, "What in the world is going on?" So I slowed down, and I started going. I thought, well, should I hit the gas or should I stop? Well, I stopped. I pulled over. I was in the right-hand lane because there was cars and stuff everywhere. I was in the right-hand lane, and everything was jammed up there ahead. And lo and behold, right over the treetops right there, this tornado came whistling right over the top of them trees. I mean, you ain't never saw them. I still get nervous with storms nowadays. I used to go out in them and check the weather and check the wind. Now I go and hide under the bed. It'll change your life if you've ever been in one now. You ain't tough no more. And you forget to be a weatherman. You say, I'm just trying to live. But this tornado come right over the tops of the trees, and it just pounded my truck. I knew I was in trouble. See those mirrors on that truck right there? I knew I was in trouble. Those big old truck mirrors. I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, both truck mirrors go whoop, right to the front of the truck, and they broke. And I said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I'm telling you, I was, in 2005, I was 45 years old. And I'm holding on to my steering wheel like this, and I'm getting as low as I can because this truck is rolling. It's about to go. And I'm trying to get as low into that seat as I possibly can, and y'all know I ain't too small. So that's kind of tough. And I'm holding on, and I'm talking to Jesus and calling out for my mama. And I'm not even joking. And that truck began to hit it and pelt. I thought I was dead when that black back window, it sounded like somebody shot a 12-gauge shotgun in the back of my seat. It goes, boom! I said, oh, here we go. And see that right there? See, I had a bed liner right there. There was one of them plastic bed liners. That tornado coming just sucked the bed liner. See that thing of bungees right over on the side right there? They were still left. It's kind of crazy. The tornado was in that truck with me that day. It was in that truck. Pine needles, glass flying everywhere. I mean, I had glass all in my hair, cuts and everything else. Oh, no. And my truck was bouncing up and down like this right here, and it had bounced all the way over to the emergency lane. I don't know how it didn't roll or something. And this was like December 23rd. I call it D23. Now, see, remember, I'd already made my commitment to God to get back, and now this happened. So that, this is just more pictures right here. There's the sign at exit 30 right there. That truck behind me, we helped him kick out his windshield and get him out of there. That's my truck right there. Now, that's what was ahead of me right there, just 100 yards ahead of me. Right there, all them 18-wheelers and everything mangled up. You see this old boy right here? This old boy right here, that's his license plate right there. See, he's upside down. He come out of there hollering and screaming. He said, oh, my God. And I grabbed him. I said, you okay, man? He said, yeah, I got a cut on my leg, but I'm all right. I said, what you driving? Is anybody with you? He said, I'm driving that blue truck. And I said, oh, you just might as well sit down. You ain't going nowhere. That's what I did. all that was ahead of me. We had to get help. Folks get out. It was just a crazy madness thing. Took about an hour before first responders came. I went back to my truck after. You got all this adrenaline going through you. It's crazy. I went back to my truck and I'm walking. And I look up to heaven and I said, God, I thought we had all this worked out. A tornado? Really? I mean, I always have been a little sarcastic and a little smart aleck. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, I didn't send the tornado, but I did protect you in it just like I have this last year and a half. And I fell on my knees in that mud, right there beside my truck. I fell on my knees in that mud. And I said, thank you for protecting me. And it was on that day. You know what the Holy Spirit let me know later on? I was out of the will of God. And that tornado was an assignment to take my life. You can believe what you want to believe. I believe it with all my heart. It was an assignment from the enemy to take my life. And because what happened on the way to Birmingham, I came back into the will of God, and God protected me. Because the safest place for anybody is in the will of God, even if you are in a tornado. You understand what I'm talking about? And it was at D23. And I got, these are two important dates. This is my Sandy date. And this ring right here, I got it written in there, D23. Because that's the day he brought me back. You understand? So when I talk about God restoring your life, I'm not talking about something I read out of a book. I will talk about what comes out of that book. But I'm talking about something I've tasted. I'm talking about something I know about my shepherd. And you don't want to know why I worked so hard for him? And while I work until I fall over dead, if that's next week or if that's 10 years or 40 years from now, you know why I worked for him? Because he restored my soul. He brought me back. And I will not give up. And I will not give up on that one that's out there because he brought me back. Now, I wish we had time. You know what I like to do? Invite us over. I want to hear your brought back story. Because everybody that names the name of Jesus has got one of these stories. And people need to hear it. You hear what I'm talking about? People need to hear your brought back story. This is what David said. This is what he said. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He replenishes me, and he brings me back. You got it. Lord, thank you.